Hey everybody, welcome to another segment of Tony's show. And tonight we are going to rumble and tumble, because tonight is going to be a show. We got some pretty climatic things happening tonight. First, I'm going to give you a little foreplay. We'll start off with the weak stuff, the little stuff, the stuff that, you know, makes you go, whatever. You know, that's the foreplay part. All right, so let me start off. Here we go. Another drowning. The link will be there, but this one's a little different, just a little bit. And it's all tied to the cell phone. Person got on the cell phone, decided to go swimming. Made it to the edge of the pool and then dropped. Fortunately, there was a person there. Pulled the young woman out. They got her to the onto the land or whatever. Started pumping her chest, you know, because they're trying to revive her. She's out. She's out cold. They revived her. She sits up for about 2 seconds and then drops dead. And our Dingleball One Sock WEF representative wants you to get updated with these injections so that you too can be in that majority of people that they're going to kill off. They were hoping for a 15% success ratio. They got about 80, just waiting for them to push the button to eliminate a slew of people. And you know what? You got a cell phone, you are subjected. Think about this. Okay, you're on the street corner talking on your cell phone to your buddies. It now is connected to your DNA because you're holding on to it, and it sends a signal to your brain via through your DNA. It says, cross the street, and you're not paying attention. You're not even looking up to check the light because you're too busy and infatuated with that phone to look up anywhere. So now you're walking across the street in the middle of traffic, and the light's against you. It's green for the traffic, red for you, and somebody doesn't see you and plows right into you. Kapui. You're dead. Okay? You're walking up a set of stairs, and again, the cell phone talks to you, and you decide you're going to jump for no reason, and you jump over the stairway, and you wind up breaking your neck. Kapui. You're driving your car, and your car is emitting a frequency. I checked 3 or 4 cars now with my meters, and each car is emitting around 0.3 Teslas, and when the car is on, 0.6 Teslas, and it's averaging around 30 gigahertz on my other meter. So when it's off, it's closer to like about 10, and when it goes on, it's up to about 30 gigahertz, which is dangerous. This is in all the cars, I think, past the year 2000. So now you're driving down the road and your car is emitting a frequency, and all of a sudden you decide to fall asleep behind the wheel. And all of a sudden you're driving over a cliff. Kapui. Transmittable signals to the genetically engineering nano-loaded AI operating systems, which are now activated by a frequency through a cell phone or other transmissions. Kapui. You're dead. Imagine that. Still think you need a cell phone? See, this is going on. And more we can tie frequencies to the direct result of people dying. Now, there's a lot of you that will not accept this because you can't see it. You're the dumb ones. Let me explain why you're the dumb ones. Because if you take a remote control that you have sitting at home, when you hit the button and you activate the television, you don't see a frequency going from that remote control to your television. yet it happens. Hit the on button, TV comes on. Hit the channel 2 button, the channel 2 switches on. Hit the channel, whatever channel you desire, it changes it. You hit another button, increase the clarity or the filters. You hit another one to dim it, another one to brighten it. So this is the same kind of technology, but at a higher range of frequencies that can access you anywhere, anytime, any place via cell phone or nanoparticles inside your body. Now, if you've got the jab, you don't even need a cell phone. Okay, you've got the transmitter already inserted inside of you. A lot of people are out there now talking about this very thing I'm mentioning again and again and again. I was having a discussion earlier with a friend of mine today who's awake, and we were talking, and I made a comment to her. Says, I'm now more concerned about those who are awake to make sure they're edified, strengthened, and helping them with their health, because they are the ones that have taken the stand not to comply, not to insert technology inside their body without any kind of common sense research that the other 80 to 90% of the people have done. And the majority of people that have done this are supposedly educated degree people who couldn't tie their shoe with Velcro, and that degree is only good to wipe your ass with. Pretty much, that's all it's good for today. So, I don't encourage anybody to get a degree either. I was just listening to another program, which we're going to get to, about secession. I've been talking about the only power we have in this country is to secede. Guess what? It's beginning. It's beginning. And I said, oh, ha ha ha. And I said to some of my friends, if Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Alberta, and BC secede, I am moving there. If Ontario doesn't secede from Confederation, then I'm leaving. Because I will no longer be a part of a Confederation that democides or planticides or genocides its own people. They can go fuck themselves, as far as I'm concerned. That's how it rolls. This government that we have, the parliament system we have, there is no saving this system. None. Anybody who still is talking about saving this system is basically blissfully ignorant and stupid. We're not being heard in Ottawa. We're not being heard federally. We're not even being heard provincially. So if they are seriously talking about secession out west, I sincerely believe in Ontario, if not all of Ontario, maybe southwestern Ontario, to secede. We need to start a secession movement here in this province so that we no longer butcher the elderly, butcher the young people, forcing them to take injections that are not necessary, especially if they're not tested or tried or proven, and or being given in regarding to no reason to be given since the initial stage of all of this was never isolated, never discovered, and now we're pumping in poisons to a general population that has never even been tried or tested on any level. And if we're going to continue to accept that bullshit, then we deserve our fate. I will never take these jabs, period. There's no reason to take these jabs, period. Everything about this jab is not dealing with any kind of pathological infection of any kind. This is synthetic biology being inserted to the general population that's designed to kill the population, not to benefit it. This whole fabrication has been nothing but one major deceit to the general population. We have slaughtered families have been destroyed. They're slaughtering children. They're harvesting children for their pedophile bullshit. They have slaughtered the elderly. They are now working their way at killing all the other people in between. You know that little goat? That little goat that represents the WEF, you know, he's always yapping his mouth. He's made a comment about how we don't know what to do with the general population. We don't need them anymore. That's a goat. That ain't a man. That's a fucking goat. Okay, that goat doesn't... He's telling you, he's come right out and telling you that the WEF and the globalists want you dead. And if you continue to comply with their lie, then you deserve your fate. That's how that is. If you're that stupid and you will not take the time to research the documentation of these bioweapons manufacturers, and you keep listening to the propaganda and the nonsense that the media is putting out there, and you wish to continue to comply to the lie, then whatever happens is upon your head. Don't expect anybody else to capitulate to your beliefs or your ideals based on nothing. And I'm addressing this not only to Canadians, but to the whole Commonwealth, Europe, Caribbean, South, North America, Africa, Asia, Middle East, Far East, Near East, and down under. Okay, we need to stop acquiescing to a lie. It's all bullshit, it's all a lie, it's all a game. And you know why this has happened? You know why this has really happened? And a lot of you may not agree, but I don't care. This has all happened because we have strayed away from God. Because when you're dealing with God, you're dealing with the truth. I'm not talking religion. I'm not talking going to a mosque or a Hebrew temple or a Catholic church or a Protestant church or any other kind of temple. I am talking God, the living God. We have strayed away from, and this is the result of the straying away. We got caught up in believing all this mythos, all this bullshit, all this game, and look at the result of all of this. Look at the result of all of this. Death. Death, death, and death. Financial death, security death, physical death, emotional death, and spiritual death. And again, I really don't like to use the word spiritual, but in this case, it's applicable. That's where this has come to. You know, I always tell people, you know, at the end of these shows, read the Gospels. There's a reason why I tell you to read the Gospels. So you can reboot and reconnect back to the Almighty, not to listen to these. Look at these government officials. They're all Satanists, every fucking one of them. They're all ready to sacrifice your children on the altar of Belial or... Geez, I can't think of it right off the bat. It just, whatever in my head. Moloch. This is the altar of Moloch, is what we're seeing here. Okay, so this is where everything's going. This is why we're losing everything. Because everything's being sacrificed to this demon. And your kids are part of that sacrifice. Now, I'm going to talk also about a Catholic school system in Alberta that had pedophiled this mother's children, and then the province took away the children because they wanted to cover up their activity. They're violating another person. Imagine that. Just imagine that. A system that's supposed to be talking about God and salvation and the whole nine yards, and instead partaking in some demonic activity in violating the children that are attending that educational institution, and then the government agencies come along and confiscate these children in order to hide that activity. This shit has got to stop. Period. And everybody needs to be aware and awake of this. These demons need to be put back in their box and thrown into utter darkness. This is what we're dealing with today in Canada. So when I'm hearing about a secession activity going on in the West, that encourages me a lot. And I'm saying that because I've been saying for the longest time that the only real power we have in this country is to secede. And as long as we have a federal government that has gone completely rogue, and as long as we have a an institution like the CSIS and the OPP and the RCMP doing absolutely nothing about putting these government officials in the state of check, then we have no other recourse but to leave and maybe amalgamate under some other kind of agreement. But this system is dead. There is no saving it. It's corrupt to the core, and we can no longer continue living like, we can't live like this. It's like if you allow a cancer in a body and you don't do something to eliminate that cancer, whether using an alternative method or an allopathic method, that cancer will spread through the body and eventually kill off the body. This is no different. This is absolutely no different. We have some of the most corrupt. I mean, look at Australia and look at New Zealand. Look at the Australians. Holy shit. I mean, can you believe that crap? You know, a lot of good people down there, and they're being abused by their same system that's abusing us. This Commonwealth cancer that we all have. And you know what? The same thing would apply to the Commonwealth down there. You need to secede from the confederation that you have down there as well. And this is something that the whole Commonwealth needs to consider. And then maybe reform a new amalgamation and eliminate any outside influence that would connect us to the UN or the WEF. We have no business being a part of any of that, period. All that's done is corrupt the governments that we have and has corrupted the people that are in our systems, and this needs to be kept at bay, out, not in. Not welcomed, don't come here. Put a no trespassing sign, WEF, UN, WHO, do not enter. You know, billionaires are here to cause planicide, do not enter. If you come here, you will be arrested. That's what should be stated in every country that breaks away from this bullshit. We need to create a separation from all of this evil. It no longer needs to be a part of our systems. It's the way it is. As long as they are here, they will feed on your children. They will feed on us. And when they get tired of us, they will eliminate us with radar waves, ground waves, frequencies. You know, this is the new weaponry. You can't see it, but it'll kill you. And there have been a lot of professionals that have been working with this type of technology that will tell you that this is the perfect weapon for a government. They can silently kill you. You would never know that they had pulled the switch, and the autopsy will read COVID, Corona, Lambeth, monkeypox, whatever, or heart attack or cancer. The cancer rates are up there because of microwave exposure. Cancers are only caused by epigenetic factors that affect the biology of whoever is being impacted. Epigenetics alters the genetic code of a person that would allow cancers to become prevalent in a person's body. So you'd have to remove the epigenetic cause and then heal the body and restore it back to its proper genetic code or DNA. So until we get this properly sorted out, this is what we're going to deal with. So, okay, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to, okay, I think there was one other thing. Oh, the wealthy are now building million-dollar bunkers. They're being talked out of it. They're trying to talk them out of it. They're not having nothing to do with it because the WHO doesn't care. They want them dead too. So when we're looking at what the wealthy are doing, then perhaps everybody better pay attention, because they are planning to do some major destruction. Water shortages, they're firing frequencies all over the place in the Great Lakes and in the oceans and everywhere else. Today, this evening, I was looking at the weather map. Across the west, they're firing major doses of radar radiation right across the country. I do believe, I was actually thinking of going near Red Lake, Ontario at one point. I'm glad I didn't go near Red Lake, Ontario, because they are firing some major radar waves over there. And I do believe they're trying to dry up all the lake beds, and the private lakes are up in that area. There's lots of water there. It was one of the reasons why I was planning on moving that way at one point in time. Because if you got water, you can do things with it. You can grow things. So, like I said, we are no longer going to be able to change the systems that we currently have. In America, you have the right to throw down this government you have. And it's in your constitution, I do believe, or your charter of rights, one of the two, where you can replace this current government with a brand new one. The people have that right. So that is also part of the U.S. system as well. They do. You have that. We have the Clarity Act up here in Canada, according to what I was listening to. So anyway, I'm going to play some stuff. I'm going to first play about the secession, and then I'm going to play about the mom who got violated by the current pedophile system that we have. Give me a second. I got to find it now. Aha, I found it. All right, we'll get it going. Give me 1 second. All right, here we go. I hope.
God for the truckers. They stood up.
And, yes.
You know, with a point of the spear sticking at Trudeau's belly. And thank God for the truckers. It obviously morphed into much bigger things than that, but they started it right here in Alberta. It started, mm-hmm. It morphed internationally, and now, you know, having been an observer of this over the last 2.5 years, I'll tell you very frankly, in Ottawa, I was a flag waving patriot. I held the flag. That's what I was there to do, to try to knock some sense into these clowns that are pretending to be physicians. But I've changed. I've changed dramatically. I'm not a patriot anymore. For the first time 2 weeks ago, I sat down for the national anthem. I will never, ever wave the Canadian flag again unless I'm waving it upside down. This country has changed dramatically.
Yeah.
Because of wokeism having infiltrated every level of organization, not just politics. And so the only way to change that, frankly, it is not to plead with Ottawa and beg for change. No, that's going to fail. They ride roughshod over anyone that objects to anything.
Mm-hmm.
The evidence is totally clear. Mm-hmm. This infatuation with the green agenda, Clydesdales trampling old women on scooters. I mean, it knows no end. The hypocrisy, the determination to transform this country into the first post-national state, etc., etc., etc. No, it's just a second. We can't move the needle in Ottawa. Mm-hmm. It's fatuous to think we would get anything other than crumbs thrown our way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm all in for the independent Republic of Alberta, because having self-determination means one singular thing, quite apart from being happy and prosperous and free. It means you have control over the governance of these out-of-control organizations, like the health services, like the police, like the courts, like the College of Physicians. Suddenly you have the power of governance to trash those organizations, burn them down to the studs, as Paul Alexander says, for the CDC.
Mm-hmm.
And reinvent them in a way that's consistent with the original principles of democracy that we're all so very familiar with, which have been uniformly trashed. Family, religion, hard work, risk-taking, trust, etc. Those fundamental principles need to be reborn. And so what I'm thinking is going to happen, Marianne, over the next couple of years, or less, a year perhaps, is that with the growing evidence of carnage on a most catastrophic scale, certainly from the so-called vaccine, the clot shot, as I prefer to call it, and the mandates, When that starts being quantified by investigative journalists, and the basement printing press gets going, lay language, bullet formats, quick read, when the lay public start becoming aware of the scale of which they have been, had their rights trampled on, and the serious consequences which have touched just about everyone on Earth, I think that's going to create a scale of revulsion that we're not quite prepared for. Mm-hmm. And that will be something, taking a leaf out of the Great Resetter's book, right? They took massive advantage of an unexpected opportunity. I don't believe it was genocide planned at all. I believe this was unexpected, but an incredible opportunity that they took immediate, planned advantage of. Now we can take a leaf out of their book. We got their number. That's how you do things these days. You get an unexpected opportunity and you milk it to hell. Well, that's exactly what we're going to do now. This revulsion that I believe is going to come out of every investigative journalist is going to be on this. That becomes the feedstock for things such as the Independent Republic of Alberta. The scale of anger in rural Alberta, you can cut with a knife. I've been out there at dozens of rallies. Edmonton and Calgary are next. And if they can be persuaded to sign off on this referendum that we're proposing for independence, that starts the ball rolling. And it can't come too soon, because Ottawa has its sights on destroying not just Alberta, but Canada.
Yes. Do you feel that there's this resistance movement in Saskatchewan, where they are? Yes.
Certainly. As a matter of fact, we had the first meeting in Swift Current a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. there is a movement starting now in Saskatchewan, modeled largely on the structure of what's going on in Alberta, which, by the way, is not an independent party. It's not a political party at all. Mm-hmm. There's a party that is pushing that, the Independence Party. But the Alberta Prosperity Project is a society, not a party, that is intent upon one thing and one thing only, and that is to educate the population on the gravity of what's going on, not just in medicine, but in the economy and politics and law and policing, etc. Yeah. And then using that educational process to drive a referendum that will be thundering in its implications. We're looking for 1 million-plus signatures that will not be ignored by whoever the premier turns out to be.
So essentially, you are looking, this reminds me of the 10th Amendment in the U.S., where you break off, states have the ability to break off from the federal government and claim autonomy.
Right.
But our Constitution doesn't allow that, but this is forcing it, saying we no longer
want to be
part of this game.
I'm sorry to correct you there, but the Clarity Act has made it very clear mm-hmm. what boxes you have to tick in order to become independent. That came out of the failed Quebec referendum.
Okay.
And the Supreme Court essentially drafted those criteria in what's called the Clarity Act. And that is what you have to follow. No one's proposing an insurrection here or anything that's violent at all. And they make that be perfectly clear. We want to stay within the parameters of established democratic principles, the laws that are already out there, that we intend to follow, and achieve success in a non-violent way.
That's very interesting. I've learned something then. So the Clarity Act provides kind of a structure with which to proceed, and essentially you're following that.
That's exactly why the Act was written. Mm-hmm. Was to provide that guidance for the future, having seen such a narrow loss narrow win, you might say, in Quebec, that there needed to be some clarity for the future, which was the precise purpose of the Clarity Act.
Well, this is very exciting news, because I think there is no fixing. The federal government is corrupt, complicit in a level of crime that is unfathomable. And they've sold themselves to these globalists who really have an agenda. So I don't see much hope going forward for Canada. I do think what you're referring to has the best likelihood of success.
Let me make a very positive statement. I'm going to make a negative statement first, but mm-hmm. it is going to get worse before it gets better. Mm-hmm. The nonsense is going to continue in the fall. It could be catastrophic, actually. An understaffed, low morale healthcare service, under-equipped, understaffed, people are being fired, resigned, people with inferior qualifications are being brought in to fill the gaps, bums in seats are not the way you run a healthcare system. Mm-hmm. That is already under stress. We're going to enter the typical fall season with pneumonia, the flu, etc. We're also seeing, quite likely, an increase in the rate of infections of those who have been vaccinated, superimposed upon that traditional stress in the form of an understaffed system. And then on top of that, we have what appears to be an emergence of a large number of new cancers or old cancers that we thought were under control. Again, not quantified, because they just don't want to know. So we have the stats coming out that I'm sure you've seen, a sudden adult death syndrome. Mm-hmm. Unexplained deaths are now the commonest cause of death in Alberta. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the connection.
No one's connecting the dots, saying all people are vaccinated.
That is the canary in the coal mine.
Yes.
Because you would multiply that by at least a factor of 10 for disability that did not result in death due to the same thing, namely the clot shot. Mm-hmm. So come the fall, even if there's no reimposition of these ridiculous mandates, masks and quarantine and so on, the system could totally decompensate.
Yes.
So it's going to get worse. But the optimistic thing is that this concept of an independent Republic of Alberta is doable within 3 years. Very practical plans being laid out. This isn't just a pie-in-the-sky wish list. No, this has been thoroughly researched and documented with policy and governance and all kinds of funding that is in the wings to further this wonderful adventure in Alberta. But when we succeed, it won't just be the happiest, freest, most prosperous place on earth, but it will be a beacon for the rest of the world as to how to redefine democracy, mm-hmm. starting right here, of mm-hmm. all places, in Alberta, as a beacon for the rest of the world. That's why I'm calling this, the potential for this, it sounds grandiose, but I think there's ample reason to support it. This is actually Magna Carta II underway, as we are speaking now. When those barons walked down the meadow at Runnymede to face King John, they did not know if they were going to come back alive. They wrestled rights from the king that morphed into what we now call democratic government. Those rights were progressively whittled away, particularly in the last couple of decades. And so now we have the opportunity of retaking democracy in its original form. And calling it Magna Carta II is not an understatement, because of the gravity of the dystopian future that awaits us if we do nothing. Losing is not an option. This is the hill to die on for everyone, if you're remotely concerned about not just the future of democracy in general, but the future for your children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what is the sentiment in Alberta then, in terms of, because in the past there's been a group who will go protest, there's a group that are fighting the legal battles, there's all the non-compliance. Do you notice a shift in the province of Alberta where people are redirecting their energy towards separating?
It's massive.
Really?
I've been out there at dozens of rallies in rural Alberta. Now, to a certain extent, we're preaching to the choir, of course. Yeah. But you can cut the anger, as I said, with a knife. It is vehement, intolerant. Change is being demanded. Enough is being screamed. This isn't just a rambunctious group of disorganized people who are sort of radical in their thinking and obviously to be dismissed immediately. No, these are very ordinary people. Farmers, not a radical amongst them.
Well,
they've just had it.
They've had it. I think a lot of people in the interior BC would like to join with you, because there's a huge, division between the urbanites in Vancouver and the rural BC population. Right. They would love to be on board with you as well. And so what do you foresee happening if rural BC or Saskatchewan wants to join up? Do you envision that there could be an amalgamation?
Well, I'm not on the board of the APP. I'm strictly staying in my box talking about all this medical catastrophe that's going on. But from what I understand, the sentiment in Saskatchewan is identical to Alberta. We will do our own thing here, and if Saskatchewan comes along a little bit later, certainly merging would be a very practical solution. Northeastern BC is similarly of the same opinion. How that would translate into carving off northern BC with access to port at Prince Rupert, I can't speak to that. All I can tell you is, but I know, which is Alberta, this is a rapidly growing movement, grassroots. There are now 140 chapters across Alberta, each with its own cohort of volunteers. It's grown so big that there are now regional coordinators for this across the province. The hard nuts of Calgary and Edmonton will be more vigorously approached in the fall. That will require significant funding. There has been a signed contract between the APP and Rebel News. This is totally on side with the objectives of separation with Alberta. All these things are now coming together, and it's going to be run differently from Quebec. We have the advantage now of the Clarity Act as the guidepost for how to do it, and it is going to happen. In 3 years, there will be an independent Republic of Alberta.
Very interesting. I do envision the future is highly decentralized. So this fits with that notion of we need to get back to a decentralized model where there's accountability and regional control. And we've lost our way in Canada. Especially last year, we don't feel that we have any say in what happens federally. So I think people are already disenchanted in the West.
The way federalism works in this country is that the provinces actually have a constitutional right to administer many aspects of government, policing, health care, education, for example, taxation even, collection. That is within the power of whoever is the new premier of Alberta, given the leadership race that's going on right now. Capturing those essential elements that are ingrained in the Constitution, capturing control of those elements from Ottawa is a stealth attack on independence, because then the actual final move of separating is going to be so much smoother, because we would already be running our police force, already running our healthcare system differently, with quite likely a private element to it, which is, of course, like the rest of the world, with a singular exception of Canada. So many elements can be introduced by the new Premier of Alberta, making the transition into independence that much smoother.
Mm-hmm. So you envision the Premier facilitating this process?
Well, it was very interesting. Two nights ago, listening to the front runner, Danielle Smith, say, as a result of a pointed question, that she will essentially decapitate Alberta Health Services and the College of Physicians and Surgeons because of having control over their governance. And I'd like to think that the universities are next, because if you had to point one finger at why we're in this global mess, in my opinion, it all started and has been reinforced over decades by the universities, a self-perpetuating elite that cranks out people in the same mold of socialist thinking. They are spat out and become teachers and lawyers and doctors and politicians, right? But the point is, they kick out teachers who then reinforce that message in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
So the students get the message in the schools because the teachers learned it in the university.
Mm-hmm.
Then they get a second dose at university. And they naturally think, well, obviously I've read it twice now and I must be right. And if you want to proceed in this society, you better agree. So the universities, in my opinion, are the root cause of wokeism, not just in Alberta, but internationally.
Absolutely.
They need to have their wings clipped.
Yeah.
Because they are at the public trough. They will, of course, howl blue murder that this is the ultimate restraint of freedom and freedom of speech, while they themselves are the cause of it.
Exactly.
If there's anything to learn from recent politics in the States, with the Democrats attacking Trump and so on, Russian hoax, you can almost be guaranteed now that any organizational attack on you is because they are doing exactly that and are trying to cover their tracks. So the universities at the public trough are the ultimate cause of the mess that we're in, and they have to be brought to heel forcibly, and it's very simple. It's called the spigot. You turn the money off.
Well, and they are the spokesperson or the puppets for industry, for big pharma,
right,
for the corporate world.
Right.
You know, the funding that goes to, that is directed to them to essentially give a narrative that
right,
the corporate world desires is...
Right.
The corruption right, is massive, and I do agree. It's almost like we need to start from scratch.
There was a survey done in California, which admittedly is probably a bit skewed, but essentially it was a survey of the political leanings of junior faculty
mm-hmm,
in universities in California. 90% of junior faculty in California are rampant socialists, bordering on closet communists. Those are the people that are now calling the shots with the deans of their various departments. They are a force that's been encouraged, and they are now running, it's the junior faculty that's now running universities. And let's not forget here, just a final soapbox comment, universities are not there to educate. Universities are there as a business to get money to support departmental research, which is largely useless. If you're not publishing, you're fired. That's the operating mode of a university. The students are merely the necessary bums in seats to pay the fees.
Mm-hmm.
To keep the whole thing rolling. The students are utterly irrelevant. It's a business model. And so they're cranking out all these students with ridiculous fees that can't be justified, especially in the States. And not responding really to society's needs, simply their own business needs.
Mm-hmm.
So my advice to anyone these days contemplating university degree is forget it. Forget it.
Yeah, it has become irrelevant. A lot of students are beginning to see that it's not a trade. Benefits. I think they do feel as though they're funding the corruption in a sense. Their tuition fees are nothing more than that.
Learn a trade. Set up your own company. Become an entrepreneur. Take control. With one singular piece of advice. Read my lips. Do not have a partner.
Yeah. Stay independent and mentor under great business people or professionals, that whole European style of mentoring. And apprentice.
Independent Republic of Alberta would have governance control of the university.
Mm-hmm.
They could have their heads cut off as well. What did we see as a classic example of that? As if you need to document how corrupt they are and how determined they are to control in their merry path of destroying society. Where did the ex-fired head of Alberta Health Services find a soft landing very quickly? Guess where she ended up? As provost of the University of Alberta. Thank you so much.
It's a perfect place.
I'll give you another interesting statistic here. We all surmise the senior bureaucrats are socialist in their thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's an easy job, it's got a pension, it's protected, you know, da-da-da-da. It's the classic landing spot for a socialist who's at the trough, right? No risk involved, just guaranteed income. Well, that's just supposition. So I looked at the only jurisdiction in the world where there's a tight geographic population of bureaucrats, not diluted by people running ordinary lives. And the only place on earth that you could think of that represents that is Washington, D.C. Intensely, it's all government there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So guess what the voting pattern was in the last federal election in the States in Washington, D.C.? You're going to be surprised at this number. 90% of the votes cast were for Biden. Do you have to say anything more about the deep state and the swamp?
Exactly. So this movement in Alberta, who are the big names behind it? And are there more big names joining the fight? Can you divulge who's behind it? Are they quite clandestine in their operations?
Sure. No, it's public knowledge. The Alberta Prosperity Project is the product of the Alberta Prosperity Society, which is a publicly listed organization with its own board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
CEO is a senior retired cardiovascular surgeon with deep connections in political history in Alberta and corporate finance. Mm-hmm. His name is Dr. Dennis Modry, M-O-D-R-Y,
mm-hmm.
a wonderful man. The idea was his. He has crafted an incredible platform, which is there for everyone to see if they want to log on to the Alberta Prosperity Project. It has, as I said earlier, a very powerful relationship now with Rebel News that is totally on side with the objectives of an independent Republic of Alberta.
What about the Oilmen's Club? Or the oil and gas sector, the leaders in that sector, I would imagine they would be quite keen to get back to doing their business.
I can't speak to it because I'm not on the board. I don't know what
that to me is a very important group to get on side.
Yes, but remember, they've all been mealy-mouthed about Ottawa.
Yeah.
They recognize that... their thinking would be something like this. Let's say this movement that I throw my full weight behind as Chevron or Esso or whatever, let's say this fails. What's the reaction of Ottawa going to be? Is it going to be even worse than it is now? So, in the C-suite of these multinationals, wokeism is alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
Do not think for a minute that they're looking out for you. No, they're looking out for their company.
Mm-hmm.
And they're making pragmatic business decisions on a risk analysis basis. So you can't necessarily look for the obvious sources of support because they have their own agenda.
So the Alberta Prosperity Project primarily is, the engine behind it is a medical community or
a
business community?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly not medical and it's certainly not business. It's literally a massive grassroots movement.
Right.
With entirely ordinary people who are indignant and intolerant and are screaming enough.
Yes.
These are not radicals. They're not wackos. They're thinking people who have read the tea leaves that any negotiation with Ottawa to change the landscape is fatuous. It will not happen. It's been tried and failed repeatedly.
Yeah, there is a futility. I agree with you. And the fact that this is grassroots, it sounds very broad, very diverse group of members. This is very good. And it may be a lot of retirees who are seasoned and feel the freedom to speak out. They don't have as much to lose. They're not looking over their shoulder. So,
come the fall, watch carefully. This is a movement that is growing rapidly. It's not plateaued. It's just the opposite.
Yes.
We're into the summer. People are finally relieved that they can live a relatively normal life, even though they still can't leave the country and come back easily. Still prisoners in their own country, but people are under the false sense of security that just because they don't have to have masks, that everything's fine. Thank you very much. And it's now summer, the sun's shining, and we want to enjoy ourselves. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
But that's natural, that relief from oppression. Complacency is the danger, of course, now.
Mm-hmm.
But come the fall, when they start turning the screws again, the Alberta Prosperity Project is looking for cracking Edmonton and Calgary, and there's a million signatures on a referendum that is demanding that the Premier negotiates on these terms with Ottawa, recognizing that it's guaranteed to fail, following which there's going to be a ribbon around the whole thing. This is non-negotiable, not a piecemeal dissection. No, it's all or nothing.
All or none.
And mm-hmm. they will return with nothing, which is the predicate for declaring independence as per the Clarity Act.
Well, this has been very interesting. Very interesting indeed. I have not heard anything about this, so I'm really glad that we spoke. Now, I would like to switch.
All righty. I heard this and I thought, this we need to do in Ontario, right into Manitoba, Saskatchewan, BC. And if there's any eastern seaboard provinces that aren't completely bought off by the feds, because the east is reliant on social programs, if they're on board, they should also decide to secede. I've been saying that for the longest time. There's only been two provinces that have ever successfully thwarted the federal government. It's been Alberta and Quebec during the referendum, and I didn't know the Clarity Act was designed during that time because of the failed referendum. But I do believe that this has been the answer. It's a nonviolent thing. They will, the Ottawa will do the same thing again. Instead of using horses to trample out old ladies, they will resort to violence. They will try to initiate the violence. But I think this time round, they may find that they are outnumbered. And if they do bring a foreign military presence here, I think they're going to find a bit off more than they could chew. So I think the best resolve is to be peaceful about this whole situation. But I do believe sincerely that secession is the and again, I'm not just saying this for Canada. I'm saying this right across the U.S. and especially down under, Australia, New Zealand, especially that thing in New Zealand. God, I don't know what the F that is. South Africa, U.K. There is no negotiating with a government that is not no longer serving the people. Governments were elected to serve the general population, not the other way around. We are not their serfs. They are not our lords. I've only got one lord and king, and it ain't them. So this seems to be the only viable solution that I've seen for the longest time. Now, a lot of the so-called leaders of the freedom movement, a lot of them will not have one for sure, didn't want to embrace this. But I don't see any other option. And I agree with the speaker and the host that talking to Ottawa is a waste of time. They are not going to comply. They're not going to capitulate. They are not going to want to lose their power that the globalists gave them. We didn't give them this power. We did not give them this power. The globalists did. And it's time we took back Canada. Like I said, it breaks my heart every day seeing this country die the way it's dying by this bullshit and this fakery and Canadians being so damn stupid, some of them, that believing this, to believe any government, anything from Parliament. Like I said, how many of your family members have died from these damn jabs? And you still will capitulate to what they say. Are you daft? This is what I really fail to understand. They have fucked you seven ways to Sunday, and you still will capitulate and comply to their bullshit. You gotta break the program. You have to break the program, or this country is done. Period. There will be no Canada, just a jail. That's all we'll have. And like I said, I think this is really the best option we have right here. It's just either we secede or we don't. It's in all the way in or all the way out, but this is the best option that I see that we have. And these social programs that we have right now, they're going to be taken away from you, whether it be this year or next year. You are not going to have your medical. You may not even have a pension, because if you don't take that damn chip, they're going to take away your financial rights, which, again, is illegal. They have no right to do, but they will do this in the name of bullshit. Fake. The new F word is fake. Now, I want to talk, get into a little bit. Hopefully, I got some time here, because this went longer than I thought. Okay, the other show I'm going to play, maybe I'll do a show tomorrow. Because I think this show needs to have the due time. This mom, this poor mom in Alberta, moved from Newfoundland because she moved because they were no longer teaching God. They were teaching this world religious bullshit. So she did not want their kids to be raised in this fake religion, bowing down to whatever demon of the day. So she decided to move to Newfoundland, put her kids in a Catholic school, thinking that the kids were going to learn about Jesus and God and the Gospels. Now, not all Catholic churches or schools teach that. Some do, some of the old traditional ones do, but most of them don't. I know when I went to a Catholic school for a short period of time, God was not in the picture, I got to tell you. Drugs, unwanted pregnancy, violence, all there. I went to a public school system, I didn't see the violence, but I did see a lot of pregnancy and drugs. So there was not much difference during the time I went. So, I'm not Catholic, so just before you all get all excited about, you know what, I'm not a Catholic, never, you know, I'm non-denominational, so I don't have any association with any concept of church. She took them there so they would learn about God. She would pray with her kids every night, and her boy got molested, wouldn't talk, didn't want to talk about it, felt ashamed. And then it goes from there. So I want to give this show its due course. I may do the whole show tomorrow on this. I think everybody should listen to it. I keep telling everybody, your children are a gift from God. They're not meant to be sodomized or abused sexually in any way, shape, or form, boy or girl. I'm still old school. Boy or girl. Not the 101 bullshit genders. And if you got a problem with that, I will tell it to you in my two favorite words. You can fuck right off. Period. There's only two genders as far as I'm concerned. And when you're talking about children and them being violated, they are a boy or a girl. And it doesn't matter. They are not meant to have that abuse. They were never meant to have that abuse. So it's up to you as a parent to protect your children. And if you have an institution that you're sending your kids to get educated and they're getting violated, then you need to take legal action against that institution that's causing that pedophile activity. And I'll leave it go at that. So anyway, in tomorrow's show, I will present this side because I believe it needs to really be presented so that everybody understands not to be so damn trusting to these institutions, because you might be surprised. All right, I'm near the end of my time limit. I always try to keep the shows within an hour or so. I always tell people at the end of these shows, read the Gospels. I know it sounds a little contradictory after what I just said, but I still stand by that. Read the Gospels, read what Jesus had to say. Read how he acted, how he had, you know, godly anger at certain incidences about certain things, what he thought about the religious institutions of those times and the theocratic system that was abusing the people of Israel of that day, and the salvation message that he brought to the planet. So I believe everybody should read those read the Gospels, read the book of Revelations, because like I say, that is the playbook. And again, we're seeing them using the playbook to enact their agenda. So I encourage you all to read this. I also say at the top of the page, there are people there trying to help you come up with solutions to help you with your health. So I encourage you, support them any way you can financially. And again, if you can't support them, it's okay, because we understand that the current system may have violated your ability to earn an income. So get back on your feet when you can. You know, if you can give, give. But in the meantime, share the shows. Share them with everybody. It's important that everybody gets to understand what's going on and how things are happening. Check the links out. I didn't touch a lot of things on the links, but check them out, because I think that you may find some things important. There was a thing about growing things with different foods and stuff. It's an interesting perspective, but one of the things that may help you get going inside doing your own indoor gardening. So I'll leave it at that. I always say at the end of these shows, we are still here by the grace of God. So until the next segment, to your health. We'll talk to you in a bit. Take care.